As always, we are going to start with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your kindness. We thank you for your mercy, 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 and your grace, Lord God. Father, it's only because of your mercy that we are here today, Lord God. Father, as we hear of the events, Lord God, that is going on in the earth, Lord God, we thank you that you kept us another week, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word, Lord God. So even if tragedy comes, even if hardship comes, Lord, we know that your word will stand no matter what. And we thank you for that. We thank you for being unchangeable and unmovable. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can depend on you. We can take hold to your word and hold on, Lord God, and it'll take us into eternity, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several announcements before we get started. Hopefully you've gotten all the handouts on the table. And I'm just going to talk about all of those handouts. First of all, get the schedule. I just revised it a little bit and added our Sunday Christmas dinner. We got to have it. Yes, Virginia reminds me. Thank you, Virginia, for reminding me. So that's going to be on December 3rd. That's going to be our last class. In 2017, we'll start up again in January. The schedule will show you all the scheduling of the class. We will begin War Room. The next thing we're going to talk about War Room. We will begin the War Room series in February. We need to finish our last lesson in living and praying in Jesus' name. And I hope you all have enjoyed it as much as I have. I feel like I have just become a whole new person, just learning about all the names of Jesus. But we're going to go in the war room. Now that you know all these names, oh man, we're ready for warfare. So we're going to teach about warfare. There's just one book you actually will need, and it's this one. It's the Battle Plan of Prayer. It's the book that we're going to use for the most part. We're going to start off with this, the War Room Bible Study. These books go together. They're companion books, and I will give you the lessons for these. There's just five lessons in here, so I'll give you the lessons for this one, but if you can get the Battle Plan of Prayer. It is, let's see, the Kendrick Brothers. If you put in the Battle Plan of Prayer on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you should be able to find it. The War Room Bible Study, if you want to get a copy, it's really great too. And it's also by the Kendrick Brothers, Stephen Kendrick and Alex Kendrick. They're the writers of the War Room, and they wrote this Bible study and the next Bible study that we'll go into. But I encourage you to get this one. Virginia can help us get... Okay.
There's the book.
1377.
If you go Kindle, it's
739. Okay, Kindle. On your Kindle, it's 739. Yes. And then it's 13 for the, if you want the book itself. Yeah. Okay, the little War Room Bible Study book, if you want it, it's $7.99 at Amazon. Virginia can help you get the book if you want to. If you want to pay Virginia, she will go online and she will get the book for you. And then finally, so this is our flyer. Hopefully you got our flyer, Christmas flyer. Yours is in black and white, but our Christmas flyer for our Christmas dinner is up there. And all the details for that. And then finally, lesson 31. I'm almost sad to give it to you because this is the final lesson in our 3.5-year journey in this book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name. But I said it's been wonderful, so hopefully you'll get this final lesson, The Captain of the Host of the Lord. And haven't you enjoyed this book? I'm telling you. And I like to do books that way. I like to kind of park in a book for a while and just really get everything out of it, all the nuggets out of there. So we have really enjoyed going through that. So now we will get in our lessons. We are finishing up lesson 30, hallowing this name, and the lesson is his name, the Word of God. And just to recap some of the things we talked about last week, our key verse in hallowing this name, or the final segment, has to do with, let me find that right quick. I have it here, now I can't find it. But the key verse, who has it? Who wants to read the key verse? Because I'm not finding it. It's in Job, yes. Amen. Amen. More than my necessary food. I don't have no idea. Well, I can't find it right now, but that's all right. Yes, and as we talked about, these are the words of Job, a man that suffered incredible sorrow, you know, as he continued to praise and to worship God. He suffered incredible hardship, but yet he said, I treasure the word of God more than my necessary food. And that should speak volumes to us, that when we are going through the hardest and the worst days of our lives, that we hold on to the word of God more than our necessary food, because the word of God is eternal. Okay, it's not based in the temporary things that we deal with in this life. You know, it goes into eternity. So that's what you hold on to. That's the only thing that's going to carry you through this life and into eternity. We also talked about how history repeats itself, that when we don't adhere to the word of God, you see history repeating itself over and over and over again in the affairs of mankind. You know, we're talking about Israel. You know, the Bible talks about Israel and what happened to Israel, but we see the same thing happening again to the United States of America. And we see the same thing happen in other nations as they do not adhere to the word of God. The same thing happens over and over again. And I don't know what it takes for humanity. I don't know what it takes for mankind. But for some reason, we just keep getting away from the word of God and thinking that we're going to be all right. And it's just not that way at all. That God's word will come to pass in your life. If you do not hear it here, then the consequences will come. You know, people think that so many things that have happened are God's wrath, and I'm telling you, that is not the wrath of God. You have no idea. We have not even seen the wrath of God, okay? When the wrath of God comes, everything disappears. Okay, we have seen the consequences of our sins. It's just God just saying, okay, you don't want me, then okay, I'll just remove the hedge. You know, because if you don't want me, you don't get my hedge of protection. And that's what we got to get. We want God's hedge of protection and we want all his blessings, but we don't want to adhere to his word. It doesn't work that way. You know, you cannot live in the United States of America and not adhere to the rules and the regulations, the laws of the United States of America. You know, if you can't do it, then, you know, guess what? You need to go somewhere else, because that's what happens here. And the same thing with the rules and the laws of God. It's, you know, we understand this. This is not rocket science. You know, if you want to have the protections of somebody and you want to have all the blessings of somebody, then you need to adhere to the rules and the regulations of that somebody. And the same thing happens with God. The same thing. Yeah. Well, we won't give on prayer. We continue to pray. We continue to. Let me finish, Margaret. We don't give up on prayer, but you cannot pray away the word of God. So you can pray and pray, but you cannot pray that God would violate his word. You know, so if you violate, the word of God, it's going to come true. As I keep telling people, you can't pray away the book of Revelation and pray that the beast doesn't come and pray that, you know, the prophecies are not going to be fulfilled. All the prophecies the Bible has spoken of have been fulfilled. You know, and the next on the agenda, folks, is what is written in the book of Revelation. That's next on the agenda. So, and we can see all the stuff going on in our world. I mean, it's just like, I don't know about you, but I just can't watch the news sometimes. I just like, I can't, you know. And now that we have all these electronic devices where you get all these tweets and all these things about the news and, you know, this happened. Oh, there's a shooting in Las Vegas. Oh, church got shot up in Texas. Oh, this happened. Oh, that happened. It overwhelms the heart, you know, and that's what Jesus talked about in the last days. In the last days. In the last days, I was really taken back because I was reading about that the other day in Matthew, and when he was talking about the seas would terrorize people. I never saw that before. I guess I never noticed it before, but the seas, the waters, the oceans would terrorize people. And I was like, oh my God, was that not true this year? Where the ocean terrorized us as those hurricanes, one after another, came hitting the coast of the United States. And Jesus said, look up to heaven because your redemption draws nigh. Hallelujah. And yes, the revival is coming. I'm hoping people are praying. I hope even as all the disasters are coming, I hope people are praying. I hope people are turning to God because he is the only refuge for us. As we were going on and getting back to hallowing this name and holding to the word of God, we gotten through some of the titles, some of the aspects of hallowing his name, and we were starting on the forerunner, Christ as the forerunner. And in your notes, you'll see the heading forerunner. And it says, this hope, this confident assurance we have is an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells, where Jesus has entered in advance as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And that's Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. And Melchizedek was a human king, but he was a king and he was a priest. So Jesus was the same thing. Jesus was a king and Jesus is a king and Jesus is a priest. And we're just going to park here for a minute and just talk about this aspect of Christ as the forerunner. The next point on your note says, as we hold sacred Christ's name, the word of God, we must revisit his station in the earth and the universe. He is not just a king, but also a priest. He is the one and only king priest who has the highest of all placements. He rules and intercedes for us before God the Father. Aren't you glad he does? As I said, if you went in there on your own, no covering of Jesus Christ, you could not exist in the presence of God because of the sin that we were all born in. We could not exist, but I thank God. I'm so grateful to Jesus that he went in ahead of us. This is the job of the priest, to intercede for the sins of the people before God. The priests of the Old Testament brought sacrifices of burnt offerings to God on behalf of the people, so the people would be spared the consequences for their sins. Christ has done the same for all of humanity. Because of his intercessions, we were spared consequences of our sins through the sacrifice of his blood. His blood was accepted by the Father as the only payment for the sins of humanity. As I said before, you had nothing that you could give God to pay for your sin. There is nothing that you could give him. He has everything. So what could you give him? So the only thing that was of value to God was the blood of his son. That's why all other religions can't work. It can't work into eternity. You know, it may give you a nice good feeling here on earth, but it's not going to carry you into eternity when you have to face the true and the living God. Because he is the one that's creator of everything and creator of the earth. And he is the one that we all have to face. I don't care what religion you're adhering to. When you leave this earth, you're going to have to face creator. The creator. And if you're not covered in the blood of his son, then there's nothing that you're going to be able to do to make it right. Your note says, therefore, we hold sacred the word of God, the king priest, higher than any other, since it was he who went before God for us. He is our forerunner. He alone carved the path for our salvation. So I'm going to tell you, it was Christ that stood up for me. So why would I follow somebody else? It was Christ that had my back. You know, you might be a good friend of mine, but there are times when you may not have had my back. You know, there are times when I was down and out and I couldn't call on you, but Christ is the one that had my back. Christ is the one that went to the cross for me. You didn't go. You know, and sometimes we have to get that. Sometimes we have to understand that process, because sometimes as humans, we don't want to push Jesus to the back of our lives. And we don't want to have him in the forefront of our lives because we want to please the humans. And we want to please the administration. And we want to please the establishment. And we want to please our friends. And we want to... But I'm telling you, none of those things went to the cross for you. None of those people had your back like Jesus has had your back. So why would you follow another? Why would you follow Satan, who is constantly accusing you before God? It blows my mind. Why would we follow Satan? Why would you follow the enemy? You know, I see people all tattooed up with all kind of craziness, you know, all kind of satanic symbols and symbols of death and all of this stuff. And I'm like, why would you follow that when he is right now accusing you before Jesus, before the Father God, accusing you so you will go to hell? That's why he's accusing you. So why do you follow that? Why would you tattoo yourself with a symbol of the one that condemns you before the Father? So it is just logical, folks. This, like I said, this is not rocket science. This is just logic. Why would you follow somebody that does not have your back? Why would you put your whole life, your eternal soul, in the hands of somebody that does not have your back? I had to learn that lesson. We all have to learn that lesson because we're always trying to please. I remember trying to please my friends, and I just wanted to be kind of, you know, I didn't want to be too heavy on the Jesus thing. You know, I didn't want to be called Jesus freak, or I don't want to be called born again. I didn't want to be called saved. Oh, my God. You know, I didn't want to be called all those things. But I'm telling you, the day came when I was under the fire, and those folks, not only were they not there, they turned on me, okay? Because people will turn on you, okay? Not only will they not have your back, they will turn on you and betray you.
Even your
family. I'll tell you, family will betray you.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, Jesus will have your back. Jesus will not betray you. Even after you have rejected him and put him to the back, you can call on him. That's why he told the story of the prodigal son. He said, you can call on him and he will be right there as soon as you repent. He's like, right there. Come on, baby. Come on. We're coming out of the fire. This is the way out of the fire. Take my hand. And we're getting out of the fire. I love him. I tell you, I love him for that. I said, I don't even deserve this. I don't even deserve the blessing. I don't deserve the rescue. But he will rescue you. That's why I'm saying, you know, and after you've been through enough, I'm telling you, you don't stray anymore. I'm like, no, I've had enough of you all. I know what you'll do for me. I love you, you know. I love you, I love you. If Jesus tells me to do something for you, I'm going to do something for you. But I cannot follow you. I have to follow my Lord. I take my orders from him. He is my commander in chief, not you. So I can't care what you think if I don't do what you want me to do. I have to do what the Lord tells me to do. So we got to get that. We got to get that. The forerunner, he was the one that went in ahead of you. As I said, he went in, he pleaded your case, and he said, okay, come on in to the presence of the Father. Hallelujah. I just love that. I'm like, look back, and he says, come on. And we came on in. The next point on your lesson says, no other belief on earth can make this claim of their gods. None of them are king priests, and none of them have sacrificed their own blood to save you or me. Therefore, and I put all these words down because they're all true, therefore their word is unsubstantiated, it's unconfirmed, it's unsupported, it's uncorroborated, it's unverified, it's unproven, it's unfounded, it's groundless, it's baseless, it's without foundation, it's unjustified.
Amen.
So why would you follow that? They're like people trying to be a police officer and they have no authority. No badge, no training, no uniform, but just trying to be a police officer. Why would you obey that person? No. You know, you got to show me a badge. You know, if you don't have a badge, get to stepping. You know. But that's what we do. We follow everything. We're just floating with everything that comes along instead of following the one who gave his life for us. You know, people talking, but they have no power behind them. You know, Satan telling you to do something, but there's no power. Satan can't save you in the end. There's nothing he can do for you in the end. If he tell you that, he's lying to you.
Yes.
If any other person other than Jesus Christ is telling you, when you die, I can save you, they are lying to you. Nobody else can save you but him. Some people believe in money. In your notes, it says, others in power or themselves. Now, I'm going to park there for a minute. You know, You know, yes, I know the songs, and the beautiful song, Believe in Yourself, Believe in Yourself. I know the song is beautiful and it sounds good, but I'm telling you, you only believe in yourself if you are in Christ. Amen. Okay? Because I'm telling you, I have made some bad decisions for me. So a lot of things we hear on earth sound good, but they're unsubstantiated. Yes, you want to have confidence, but you have to have confidence in Christ. The apostle said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. Don't just follow me, because I have no power. I have nothing to help you with, but Jesus does. So we have to get over believing in ourselves, and I believe in myself, and I can just do this because I just have the willpower to do it. I'm glad for your willpower, and I'm glad you're strong. But I'm telling you, there are some things on this planet that will knock you down on your back and you will not be getting up, because you are a human being and you are limited. You are limited. And I'm telling you, if you don't have Jesus, if Jesus doesn't have your back, there are things that will knock you down and you will never get up again. So you can sing all those songs if you want to, or you can seek the one that is all powerful, all power is in his hand. Some people believe in crystals and statues. Some people believe in nature. And some even worship Satan outright. But none of these things has done what Christ has done for the human race. And that's what we have to get. I mean, really, this is logic. This is not anything hard or deep. This is logic. Why are you following all this other stuff when nobody did for you what Jesus did for you? This is why there's more movies, more books, more works of arts, more conversations have been associated with Jesus Christ than any other figure in human history. So it's just common sense to worship Christ. You can't erase him. They've tried to erase him. And even in this day and age, I listened to the radio this morning. They were talking about this picture they found that they think Leonardo da Vinci or somebody helped. Did you guys hear that story? And they sold that picture in New York for $450 million. I was like, a picture of Jesus. A picture of Jesus. And they think that was like the highest art sale they had ever seen, ever. A picture of Jesus. Hallelujah. As the poet said, 2,000 years have come and gone, and he remains the central figure of the human race, Jesus Christ. You cannot erase him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next point in your lesson says the image of God. And it says, but even if our gospel, in some sense, hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Among them, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And this is 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. So as we talk about this piece and holding sacred the Christ, the word of God, we appreciate what we have in him. We appreciate that he has opened our eyes to see the truth of our world and to see Christ as the image of God, our salvation in this world. But many are still blinded by Satan and are headed for destruction. Therefore, we thank Christ for removing the scales of lies from our eyes so that we could see and live in the truth of his word. Hallelujah. You know, don't you thank God that he removed the scales? I look back. Do you ever look back and says, I can't believe I used to do that? I'm like, oh my God, did I used to do that? And they're like, yeah, girl, you were on the table just doing your thing, you know? I'm like, oh my God. Jesus, I thank you that you saved me. You know, you ever seen somebody that reminded you of you when you back in the day? I'm like, God, I remember when I used to do that, when I used to talk to people like that. When I used to treat people like that, I remember, Lord, I thank you that you saved me. Lord, I remember when I used to have that chip on my shoulder. Oh, my goodness. All the things that Jesus just delivered you from. So I thank you, Lord, that you took the blinders, the scales of lies off my eyes. Because the reason why people act that way is because they're looking at the world through a lie or lies that the enemy has told them. You know, since they were children, the enemy will tell children lies to make children think certain things. You know, when, you know, you've heard your kids tell you certain things. You're like, baby, why would you think that? You know, why would you, you know, enemy lying. He doesn't care that they're children. You know, he will still lie to them. But we thank you that when you get in Jesus, Jesus will tell you the truth. So your note says we hold sacred what we have and the truth that we know, because we could still be lost, just like a blind man wandering in the wilderness, susceptible to falling into holes, tripping over rocks, being victimized by predators, or even walking off a cliff. People who do not know Christ are lost and in great danger. This is why we pray for them. Don't be angry with them. Don't be mad at them. Don't get into foolish arguments with people. Pray for people. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to them. I tell you, the best weapon you can use, the best help you can use for people is to pray for them. We all have different associations. We all connect with different people. These people should be on your prayer list. If you know people that don't know Christ, you should have a list. I keep a list right on my phone, you know, so I can just be praying for people, you know, and lifting them up and watching as God makes a difference and a change. Nobody is too far gone for Jesus. Nobody. Just keep praying for them. You don't have to be beating them with the Bible. You don't have to be quoting scriptures every 5 minutes. Just pray for them and live the life before them as much as possible. Live that life. You know, Jesus brings clarity. It's like a cloud lifts when you get to know Jesus. It's like, wow, I have such clarity about life now. I understand it. I understand different things that I didn't understand before. You know, I used to say, why doesn't God do this? And why does God let that happen? You know, you get into Jesus and you get close to him, he'll bring clarity on what's happening and what's going on. He'll show you the ways of God. He'll show you the truth of his word. Why God doesn't interfere? Get into the word of God and you'll find out why God doesn't interfere, because he does not violate his word. He doesn't violate it. That's why. He's not going to take away mankind's free will. He's not going to do it, because he said he gave it to man as a gift. He doesn't take back gifts. So with Christianity, you get clarity. You know, there's, you know, you can minister to people in so many ways. I remember, you know, the story of Saul. Remember the story of Saul? On his way, on his horse, riding, going to kill Christians, okay? This was not a lightweight guy. This was a heavy hitter. He was on his way to kill Christians and was proud of it, okay? And it took Jesus knocking him off his horse, the mercy of Jesus, knocking him off his horse and blinding him. Oh, man, I tell you. And it was such an odd, because that's what the way many of us lived before, blinded. Just doing all kind of wickedness and just blinded. And it took Jesus sending Ananias, was sent to pray for him that the scales would fall off his eyes. And it literally happened, but this was an object lesson for us, that when we pray, the scales fall off our eyes and we can see how to love people. We can see how to minister to people. I brought this book today. It's called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. I don't know if I brought this in before, but this was such a blessing. This lady was on Focus on the Family, and she was in her book, she talks about, first of all, she starts out, this lady was a lesbian. You know, and she was a professor at Syracuse University, actually where I graduated from years ago. And she started a conversation, I think, in a newspaper, and a pastor answered her and asked, why do you think you're right? And it opened up this conversation. The pastor and his wife invited her over for dinner, and they started having this conversation, because she was going for research, you know, and ended up having a conversation with this pastor and his wife. They didn't condemn her. They didn't do anything. They just wanted to know, why do you think you're right? And she wanted to know, well, why do you think you're right? And they just started sharing. And they started having dinner, and they even had dinner with her friends and, you know, everybody in that lifestyle. They were having dinners with them and just start talking and having a conversation, you know. And I tell you, through the conversations and through just loving on them, having dinner, man, this lady came to know Jesus Christ. Today she's married, has children, you know, just God delivered her and she just went on, you know, but it was because somebody was hearing and praying. You know, I know they were in prayer. They were just praying and praying and praying for her, not beating her, not condemning her, but praying for her. So I'll pass this around. But it's called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, which by Rosario, what's her last name? Butterfield is her last name. But really powerful story about the power of God when you start praying for people. You know, don't think people are so far gone. Pray for them. You know, because that's what God had to hit me with over and over. Who's praying for them? I hear you talking about them, but who's praying for them? And I felt so ashamed because I wasn't praying. I was just talking. Wasn't praying. So I've learned how to pray for people and not be talking about them, but pray for them and lift them up so God can move in their lives. The next point is Jehovah Elohim. He is the eternal creator. That's what that means. Jehovah Elohim, eternal creator, or the creator of eternity. We hold Christ sacred as the word of God because he speaks the eternal into existence. His word creates your eternity. Do you understand? He will speak your eternity into existence. This beautiful and hard existence on earth will end one day, and from his lips will come your eternity. You got to understand that. Your eternal peace, your joy and love. We cling to this hope with both hands because as you and I inevitably slip into eternity, there is no one else to hold to. There is only the eternal creator. There is only Jehovah Elohim. And I've already hit on this, but you've got to get this. As you are inevitably, every gray hair that pops on my head, I know the clock is ticking. And one day I'm going to slip out of here into eternity. And I better have a hold. I have made it my goal, my number one goal. I'm going to have a hold on Jehovah Elohim.
Yes.
Because he's the only one that can speak my eternity with him into existence. Revelation 3:11 says, his word says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. It's a holding process, folks. That's why Jesus said it. He said, hold on, because the enemy is going to try and pull you away day in and day out. He's trying to pull you away. But Jesus said, you hold on because he's coming. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, son. I'm coming for your daughters. I'm coming for you. Don't let anyone take away your crown. You know the crowns that he has, the crown of light, the crown, so many different crowns he has for you. Don't let anybody take it from you. The next point on your lesson is Jehovah Hosanu, the Lord our maker. And I really love this piece. And the scripture says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker in reverent praise and prayer. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And that's from Psalm 95, 6 through 7. So let's break down this for a bit. Christ, as the word of God, has made you and continues to make you. He speaks growth and maturity into your spirit as you seek him. Each day you change from what you were to what he desires for you to become. He makes you. He is Jehovah Hosanu. He makes you. He changes you each and every day. As you get closer to him, as you read his word, as you pray, he will change you and make you different. You know, I hope you can look back last year in 2016 and see yourself different this year in 2017. You know, it might be just a small change, but you might know, okay, you know what? Last year I probably would have, you know, and you can finish that sentence however you want. But this year, Lord, I thank you. That doesn't bother me. Lord, I'm not going to respond like that because you have taught me a better way. And so he's making you. The next point on your lesson says, Christ is the Lord your maker, because only he has plans for you. He is your Alpha, your beginning, and Omega, your end. He was there when you began, and he will be there when you leave this earth. And I'm talking about, I'm not talking about your birth, the day you came on this earth. He was there when you were conceived. He was there. He already knew. He already knew. He was right there when you were conceived, where you were put together. As David said, you saw me when I was knitted together in my mother's womb. You saw me. He was right there, putting it all together. So the earth just saw you when on your birthday. That's when the rest of everybody else saw you. But he saw you from the very beginning, because he was there and he is your maker. The question is, will you seek and submit to your maker? As the scripture have spoken, for I know the plans and the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Then with deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that's Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. The maker, the word of God, knows what you are to be. You know, you don't even know what you're supposed to be. I know you think you do. We're so arrogant. We think, you know, we're all that, and we've got our plans, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be that, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be that. When I grow up, you know, I'm going to do this, and when I get this done, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to start this business. We have no idea what we're supposed to be. Only he knows. He said, I have the plans. Not you have the plans. I have the plans I have for you. And you can follow somebody else's plan. You can follow Satan's plan. You can follow your friend's plan. You can follow your mama's plan, your daddy's plan. You can follow Satan's plan. You can follow everybody else's plan. But I'm telling you, you'll never be what you need to be until you start to follow Jehovah Hosanu, the one that makes you, the one that has the plans. And he says right here, plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, when you're lined up with Jesus, you don't have to worry about stuff coming. Yes, stuff is going to come. I'm going to tell you right now, stuff is going to come at you, but you will not end in disaster, because he said this, I will not have plans that you will end in disaster. You know, you will be in peace. You will be okay. That's why the scriptures, it says he's going to give you a new name. See, when he finishes making you, hallelujah, he names you. Okay? The first time you got here, when you were born, your mom or your dad named you. But when Jesus gets finished with you, he's going to name you. Aren't you excited? I'm like, I don't know what he's going to call me. You know? You know, my parents named me Karen, but I'm like, my goodness, what is he going to name me? When he gets finished with me, I'm going to name you. Hallelujah. I look forward to that day when he gives me my name, because I know what you're supposed to be. And when I'm done, I'm going to name you. The next point on the lesson says, the Lord God is my strength, my source, my courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet, hallelujah, steady and sure, like hind's feet. And he makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. That's Habakkuk 3:19 in the Amplified. Boy, oh boy, I just need to sit here for a second. Because Christ is your maker, there is nothing impossible for you as you walk with him. See, he makes your feet. I love this scripture because it says he makes my feet like hind's feet. Here in Colorado, we have just a great opportunity to see deer all the time and goats. You know, I was able to go up to Pikes Peak one time and I saw these goats and it was amazing. I couldn't believe how quickly they could go up the side of a mountain. I was like, oh my God. You know, we'd be struggling, need all kind of special equipment, and they're just boop, 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 and they're up there because of those hind legs. They're made for pushing upward. And that's what he will do for you. He will make your legs so you can push upward, no matter what the mountain you're climbing right now, no matter what you're going through, he'll make your legs like hind feet so you can push up through it. You know, I don't worry. I hear the Apostle Paul said he gloried in tribulation. Long time I didn't get that. Why in the world are you glorying in tribulation? I'm looking for a good day. But then I begin to understand it. Because in the tribulation, that's when Jesus pushes, makes your legs strong so you can push up through it. And when you get up through it, you're better. You're stronger. Because you were able to push up through it. I mean, you have a confidence in God that you never had before because he took me through that. You used to hear the old folks testify, Jesus is my best friend and all this. I'm like, what? But then I began to understand as I went through stuff. And Jesus came through over and over again. He made my feet like hind's feet so I was able to get up out of the bed. I would have rather stayed there with the covers over my head and just cried the day out. But he made me get up. We got this. He tells me, we got this, baby. Come on, let's get up. We got this. We got this meeting, but you don't know they're going to mess with me at the meeting. And they're going to talk about me. I already heard about what they're going to say. We got this. Oh. And you go into that meeting, and Jesus has shut the mouths of the enemy. And you walk in there, and he makes your feet like hind's feet. And you push up beyond the problem, beyond the trial, no matter what, who's coming at you. He makes your feet like hind's feet, and you push up beyond the trouble and beyond the problem. And you become great and greater. And with every mountain ledge that you get to, oh my goodness, your confidence just soars in him. Not in you. Your confidence soars in him. Like, okay, I see some more mountains, but I know he's got this. Come on, Jesus, come on. Make my feet like hind's feet so I can push up beyond this issue to the high places that you have for me. He does it. He makes it. He's a maker. He will make it. I don't care how weak and how pitiful you think you are, how people have said you were pathetic and you were this, and people have called you all kinds of things. I don't care what they said. Jesus said, I will make your feet like hind's feet. And you can become strong and you can become capable of doing whatever he calls you to do. The next point in your lesson says, maker of all things. And holding sacred his name, the word of God, we allow our Lord to make us, to trade our ashes for beauty, to pour his oil of joy on us when we mourn, to trade the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. And this, you can see all of this in Isaiah 61. He is not only creator, but he is maker, continually forming us into his image, continually healing us from the woes of this world, continually removing the darkness far from us so that we can know peace. He can make you in the night and in the pain. Hallelujah. He can make you in the pain. Beloved, he can make you in the pain when your heart's breaking, when the tears are rolling down your face. Jesus can make you in the pain. I'm telling you. I tell you, you show me somebody, I used to say, you show me somebody that hasn't been through something, and I'll show you somebody that's immature. But you show me somebody that has been through the storms and have been through the valleys, that have cried themselves to sleep and gotten up the next morning, I'm telling you, I'll show you somebody that's mature, that knows how to be strong. So he can make you in the nighttime, and he can make you in the pain. Christ will make peace in your life and in your family. He can make love where there was hatred. He can make joy in your heart, independent of the circumstances. He can make your feet like hind's feet so that you can stand on the high places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scriptures declare, the portion of Jacob, the true God of Israel, is not like these handmade gods. For he is the maker of all and the one who formed and fashioned all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And you can put your name in where Israel is. Karen is the tribe of his inheritance. My family is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. He made us. He fashioned us. Our family was a mess. It was a mess. We had all kind of stuff going on. The kids were in all kind of things, but God came in and he made us. He made us his inheritance. Next scripture says, but no one says, where is God my maker, who gives songs of rejoicing in the night? Job 35:10. You never have to look and search for Christ. He's always there. He'll give you a song in the middle of the night when you can't sleep because things are on your mind. And he'll bring a song. And he'll bring peace. And he'll bring comfort. And he'll let you know that everything's going to be all right. You don't have to search for him. The next point talks about a witness to the people. It says, listen carefully. I have appointed him, David, representing Messiah, to be a witness to the nations regarding salvation, a leader and commander of the peoples. And that's Isaiah 55:4. As Isaiah spoke these words, he was prophesying of the Messiah, who would be a witness to all nations regarding the salvation that has been brought to them. Christ lived out was the word of God made flesh. He was and is the only witness that the word of God is true and will be carried out to the glory of God. Wow. I tell you, God the Father, I'm telling you how true, you know, and we can see how true this is. All nations. Wow, I look around this room and I see all nations. I'm telling you, it's exactly what Isaiah wrote about. Thousands of years he wrote this. He said, Jesus Christ is going to bring, the Messiah is going to bring together all nations. As we see people of all races, cultures, nationalities, former religions and beliefs, all gathered under the blood-stained banner of Christ, we also see and become witnesses that the word of God is true, that salvation has come to the earth through Jesus Christ, and we have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, as it says in Ephesians 4:3. We are the witnesses that Christ has made us a nation. We are the witnesses. That's why the United States is so special. I believe it's really special to God. You know, maybe I'm a little biased, but I just really believe it's special to God because all nations have come here. We got that Statue of Liberty standing in New York Harbor. You know, come, come. You know, yes, we have all these immigration laws now, but in the beginning it was like, come, come. And this whole nation, one nation under God, that's how we started, indivisible. That's how we started. It is the very testimony of what Isaiah wrote about right here. That all nations would come together under the blood-stained banner of the Messiah and be one nation. And it is so true. And we are the witnesses that it's true. You look around this church, it's true. I'm a witness. I've got sisters and brothers of all nations. I'm a witness. And that's why this word, it's like the word of God is true. It is so true. As we grow in Christ, as we grow as witnesses of the truth of the word of God, as we live through episode after episode within him, we find him to be faithful. He is faithful who promised. Guys, I can tell you, I'm not telling you because I read it in a book. I'm telling you because I lived it. I know what he brought me through, what he brought my family through. I should not be here today. I'm telling you, Karen Colvin should not even be here today. I shouldn't. I think I should be at the state hospital. I think I should be at the state hospital somewhere. But Jesus. He is faithful who promised. So as witnesses, we find that he never leaves us or forsakes us, as it says in Hebrews 13:5. We find that he is love and peace, as we see in Galatians 5:22. We find that 10,000 may fall at our right side, but it does not come near our dwelling, as it says in Psalm 91:7. And we find that he is faithful who promised, as it says in Hebrews 10:23. All of those things are true. I've lived it. Some of you, you've lived it. Many of you lived it. You know it's true. The word of God stands. Then we will rise up and testify of who he is, the word of God made flesh to bring salvation to the world. He has done this. As the scriptures have spoken, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. That's John 1:1, and it goes on to say, and I want to read it in the Amplified. This is 1 John, actually. It says, I am writing about what existed from the beginning. We have heard what we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the one who existed even before the beginning of the world. 1 John 1:1. You know, Jesus, you know, in the beginning, when John wrote, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And now, then in 1 John, he's talking about we've seen it. We witnessed it. We saw him. We walked with him. We lived with him. We saw him die. And we saw him resurrected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you guys? And he wrote it down. He wrote it down. He said, I am a witness that this happened. And I'm writing it down so you people in 2017 would know that it's true. So we are witnesses. Because we have seen what he's done in his life. Just as John had talked about seeing Jesus himself. But you have had a front row seat to what he has done in your life. I've had a front row seat to what he's done in my life. I've lived it. My heart ached with it. You know, tears. Front row seat. Tears. I felt it. Front row seat. I'm a witness to what he's done in my life. And what he's done in the life of my family. Our final point before, and we're going to open for comments. The only thing that will matter in the end of all things on this earth will be the word of God. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand. Hallelujah. The word of God is his constitution. The word of God is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ on the earth is on in here. I'm telling you, it is not going to change. It's not going to be modified. Our laws and our legislations change every day. They fade. They be different. You know, someone told me if the people from 100 years in the United States came and saw our planet, our United States today, they would be like, oh my goodness, what happened? Because our laws change. But the word of God will stand forever. It won't change. You know, folks, and let's stand with it. Let's get behind it and stand with it. I know it's hard in this day and age, and they said, well, that's an outdated document. No, it's not. And pretty soon, we're all going to find out that it is not outdated. Man, that it is coming to pass. The future is there. It talks about what's coming. You know, we think we're all that in 2017. We haven't even seen the end of the book coming to pass. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm holding to this. I'm holding. I'm sorry, I can't go with another book. Because the future is coming to pass, and it will be true forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Any comments? Questions? Comments?
Mm-hmm. Be very sure.
Oh.
Be very sure.
Yes.
Your anchor trips.
Yes.
And holds that solid rock.
Yes.
That rock is Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, he's the one.
He's the one. Yes, I'm
you're
telling you.
If you're holding on to anything else, you're going to lose out.
I'm telling you. It is so true. It is more true today than it ever has been. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let people talk you into anything else, folks. That word's coming to pass. I don't know what more God can do. I don't know what more he can do. The prophecies it talked about has already come true, even in the 20th century. The prophecies they've talked about have come true. So why do we think the book of Revelation, I mean, the way he described the mark of the beast, in the world could they have understood a computer chip? Where you wouldn't be able to buy and sell unless you have the mark of the beast. How in the world could they have ever? It's coming to pass. It's coming. It's already here. I'm telling you. You think it's outdated? Okay. You know, I'm telling you folks, be sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Because the day is going to come when it's going to be too late. And as I told you before, I'm going on the first trip. Okay? I'm not staying around here for the second trip. I'm sorry. I love y'all, but I'm not staying for the second trip. Okay? You can have my notes, but I'm not staying for the second trip. I'm going first trip. Okay? Anybody else have a comment?
It's just something really simple that I heard that's always stuck behind my mind. It's just, we all know it. Jesus is the way. But then this pastor said, Jesus is the way, but God our Father is the destination.
Wow.
And I just thought, oh, God, it's so simple and so
true. Yes, so simple.
Yeah.
So simple and so logical.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, it's just so easy. Anybody else?
I think it is exciting to mm-hmm. see what's coming about,
yeah.
because we've had so many negative people say, oh yeah, that's a long time ago, don't worry about it, it's not going to happen. All you got to do is open up the newspaper and compare it with the Bible,
yes.
and it's right there,
yes.
and they cannot argue with you on
yes.
it. So, yeah.
I'm telling
I think
you.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Know, just to know that one day that cloud's going to open and we're going to be out of here.
Yeah, that's what I was reading Matthew the other day, and I was reading, and I was
I'm
talking
ready.
About
yeah.
how the seas would be terrorizing people,
yes.
and I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Didn't that just happen last summer? Boy, didn't we have, I can't recall my hurricane after hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, and boom. And having to evacuate an entire state?
Right. Yeah.
Really? While another part of the country is underwater, and another one's, we have to evacuate the state? Not only did it hit the entire state, but it just went all the way. My family was in Georgia. They were like, our lights went out, and we're up in Georgia.
Fires on the west side.
Fires. You know.
We're due for a blizzard.
I know. I know we're due for a blizzard. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anybody else have a comment? Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. And remember, get your handouts. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Boy, Lord, we just thank you for this lesson, Lord God, and how it taught us about your word, Lord God. I pray, oh God, that we would be convinced and convicted, Lord God, to study and hold and adhere to your word over anything else, Lord God. We got so much coming at us, Lord God. So many influences on us today, Lord God. But I pray for your people. I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to envelop us, Lord God, and we would hold and adhere to and stand by your word, Lord God, above anything else. Oh God, I pray that the voice of the liar would be silent. Oh Lord, that the voice of the liar would be silent, Lord God, and we would just adhere to your truth, Lord God, that we would walk with courage, Lord God, that we would walk with you, Lord, that we would walk hand in hand with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we would not deny you before men, because you said if we deny you before men, then you would deny us before your Father. Oh, Father, we thank you because you were the forerunner, Jesus. You went in ahead of us. You sacrificed and you brought your blood and you put it on the mercy seat before your Father. And your Father said, let them in. Let them come in, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would not take that for granted. Lord, I pray that we would not let it go wasted. But that we would take advantage of the sacrifice of the Son. Lord, I just thank you. I pray for everyone in this room. I pray for their families, Lord God. I pray that you would move by your power in their families. Oh God, I pray that you would move on them to pray, oh God, for their families, to pray for their coworkers, to pray for their neighbors, Lord God, because you are coming soon. Oh Lord, I pray. Oh God, I pray that all that can be saved will be saved in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let them not miss it because we did not pray. So let us pray, Lord God. Let us stop talking and let's start praying. Oh, Lord, let us get on our feet, our faith, and plead and intercede for people. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.